So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to page 1017. And I'd like to welcome back our Pastor Emeritus Wilson Cummings to the pulpit. And let us give our full attention to him as he preaches and brings to us the bread of life this morning.
Quotation here. The vast majority of the children are not trained in the way they should go, but when they grow up, they do not walk with God. That would seem to fit our situation, wouldn't it? Guess when that was written? That was written in 1888 by Bishop J.C. Ryan. This has been a problem from the beginning, hasn't it? This problem of training our children. Now, we need fathers in the home, but fathers in the home that don't train children the Lord's way, what their duty is, aren't much good either. We need fathers now who train them in the way that they should go. Those kind of fathers will make a difference. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, the duty of fathers to fear the Lord. And I want to give you something, to give you 6 hints. This isn't meant to be exhaustive at all. Actually, it sort of ends with the fathers need to train their children in certain habits. I'm just going to mention the first habit. There's a whole lot more that could be said. But these are hints that you should take seriously. And it's for fathers specifically, but it's also for the rest of us. Those who one day be fathers, those who one day be parents, those who have brothers and sisters, those who have friends. This is meant for the Christian community. This is meant for our nation. Fathers, you want to train your children right. Number one, train them in the way they should go, not in the way they would go or they want to go. Train them in the way they should go, and not in the way that they want to go or they would go. We need to remember that children are born with an inclination towards evil. Therefore, if we let them choose themselves, what are they going to do? They're going to choose the wrong. They're going to make a bad choice. The Bible tells us foolishness is found not enough in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. They need fathers. I heard a good story, and I wanted to share it with you. In Africa, there was a herd of elephants that were just running wild. They were trampling down villages. And then they couldn't understand it. The behavior was unusual for elephants. And then they discovered there were no old bull elephants in this herd of elephants. They were all young bull elephants. They were teenagers here. So, that's a huge problem. What are you going to do? They airlifted old bull elephants in. And the reason there weren't any bull elephants is that poachers had shot them all for their ivory tusks. So all the old bull elephants were gone. So they airlifted in a bunch of old bull elephants. And these old bull elephants flapped their ears. They lifted their trunks and they made elephant noises. They did this. And then they did it again. And they flapped. They lifted their trunks, made their elephant sounds, and flapped their ears even more vigorously. They did this and did this and did this. And so the behavior of the young bull elephants changed. Now what we need to see is bull elephants, isn't it, in our homes. We need men who will take leadership and set good examples and don't let them do what they should, what they would do, but what they should do. Now, one thing we can be certain when we have children, we don't know how these cuddly little babies are going to grow up. We don't know what they're going to turn out to be. We don't know whether they're short or tall. We just don't know how they're going to look anything. They just change as they look over the years. There's a lot that we don't know about them. But one thing we can be certain of is that they will want to be wrong. A child left to himself, Proverbs tells us, disgraces his mother. We don't want to leave our children alone. The devil loves it. What he loves lazy parents that can let their children alone. But we need to train them in what in the way God's Word says that what they need. We need to train them in that way, not in the way they want to go. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever met a child that didn't have a mind of his own? If you have, you can bring him over to my house. I'll raise him for you. children all have a mind of their own. Now, when the pastor of a large church received a call, a large church being there were 8,000 plus members in this church, received a call from the principal of the school. He said he was having an auditorium in gangs in school. So this pastor said, bring them all over to my church. So he brought the whole student body. I think it's all in the woods. He brought over. And the pastor had cut 25 of his deacons and he had them patrolling the aisles while he talked to them. These were men in suits. They weren't wearing their pants halfway down. These were men in suits. And they insisted that they kept order while that their pastor told them about what godly men were like. That was the end of gangs. The bull elephants, right? They got them to sit down and listen, and the Lord used that. We need fathers then, don't we? To teach the children not let them do what they would do, but teach them what they should do. Now, secondly, fathers, if you want to train up your children right, you want to train your children with kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. What does the Apostle Paul tell us in Ephesians 4:32? Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I've never forgotten what I learned from one of the elders in my church growing up. His name was Mr. Smith. He was old enough to be my father's father. His father had fought in the Civil War. And eighth grade, he was out of school because he was dumb. Got a pair of glasses and started to discover he wasn't so dumb. By the time I knew him, he was the boss of two pipe plants. And he took a friend of mine and I on a tour of a pipe plant, and he said something. I don't know if it was at that time or another time, but he told me this: you can coast more work. He'd been a boxer when he was young. You understand his background here, okay? He told me this: that you can coast more work out of a man than you can drive. You can coast more work out of a man than you can drive. Our children need compassion, they need love, they need kindness. Yes, we can't let them get around us, but if we drive them, we make them bitter. And the passage that our pastor had us read earlier was, fathers, don't make your children bitter. Don't be harsh. What are our children like? I just was thinking of the backyard of our over the church over in on God Street. Last year, we planted grass seed. You have to water that every day, just sort of gently. And our children are like grass seed, aren't they? We need to keep watering them. We need to keep loving them. We need to keep showing them the pattern. We need to keep forgiving them. We need to keep being firm as well. It's over time. Now, we take the time, too, haven't we, to mature and to grow? Well, I realize that more and more. And just how poorly I've done when I reflect back on it, when I think back on things. But God has treated me with compassion and kindness. And I am to treat my children in the same way. I've been firm with me. I didn't get away. I don't get away with much with God. In fact, I don't get away with any because I think I get away from even them who chose me wrong. The Apostle Paul testifies, Christ's love compels us. What he's talking about is reconciling the world to Christ. He says, Christ's love compels us. Christ's love, he refuses to love us, do what we want to do. He continues to change us. and He wants us to seek to reconcile our children, their hearts to God, through love. The same love in which He's loved us. Children aren't born the way they're going to be. They're like clay. They're soft clay that can be molded. But it takes time, doesn't it, to mold them. And we want to avoid making our children bitter. Fathers, do not embitter your children. They will become discouraged. We want to be careful not to be harsh and make them bitter. So if you want to train your children right, train your child up, your child with kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. Now, number three, train your children convinced that much depends on you. Much depends upon you as fathers. Now, one thing about God's grace is that God's grace is greater than all of our sin. No matter what we've done, He forgives us, He reconciles us to Himself. And even the sin that remains, we don't get away with it, it keeps happening. God's grace is greater than all our sin. But something else very strong in us is the sinful human nature. That's second. God's grace is the greatest, and it's the sinful nature. If we just persevere, we're still learning about just how sinful we really are, aren't we? And after them, there comes this matter of education that is also powerful. The non-believer doesn't believe in God's grace. He doesn't take sin seriously. And they keep coming at us with the importance of education. The solution to this problem is education. I can remember a police captain coming to a neighborhood meeting and telling us the answer was to the problems in our neighborhood. They were bad at the time. We just were having an overwhelming problem with drugs. But the solution, he said, is education. Now, though we don't want to dismiss education as parents, it's powerful. And our children now, they're like moist clay. And we want to educate them. Now, I know we can't convert our children. God does that, doesn't it?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit changes them. But He does tell us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And he never gives us a command, but he doesn't give us the grace to fulfill it. We want to obey that command. He will give us the grace. It's too much for you? No. It is too much for you, yes. But God's grace is enough. It's more powerful than the same sinful nature. And we are then, this is a command then, to educate our children, train them in the way that they should go. We simply need to obey, don't we? Remember Christ at the wedding at Cana? He told, in the miracle performed there, concerning water to wine, He told the servants to pour the water into the jugs. That's what He told them to do, and He turned it into wine. We train our children, and He makes it good. We're not to stand there and just argue and fuss with God about all that He's laid on Him and just treat it lightly because that's what everyone around us is doing. But we're to educate our children, training them because God is there and will strengthen us and will work in our children's lives. So train your children convinced that much depends on you. Much depends on you. Humanly speaking, you are responsible for whether your children go to heaven or go to hell. The fourth thing here, again, is fathers, if you want to train your children right, train keeping in mind or to think first about your child's soul. Already hinted at this. Their soul is the only part of them that's not going to die. You train them up to be a doctor, you train them up to do be a plumber, you train him up to have a good job in life and make ahead and all that sort of thing. Does that matter so much? They're going to leave all that behind sometime, aren't they? The most important thing is your soul will never die. The world's going to disappear one day. The hills are going to melt. The heavens are going to be rolled up like a scroll. The sun isn't going to shine anymore. All this world's going to pass away. Everything in this world's going to pass away. But the spirit that lives in your children is going to live forever. What's in your children is going to outlive the world we live in. The most important thing is their eternal salvation. And so the question you want to ask yourself constantly is, how will this affect their souls? How will this affect their heart? How will this affect their eternal salvation? Now, if you ignore their souls, you're treating them like animals. Animals don't have souls. When they die, that's it. But we want to focus on their eternal souls, their eternal destiny. We don't want to treat our children like animals. So, we need to teach them then to stand against the world, don't we? We need to teach them to say no to all sorts of things. No to certain kinds of music. No to questionable friendships. No to certain books. No to certain magazines. No to certain DVDs. No to certain music. No to certain video games. And all their friends are doing all these things. And they go to the latest fashions. All that stuff's going to pass away, isn't it? What they need to learn to do from you is to please God. And in the end, you will be called wise. You will be called wise. It may be work, but if God is for us, who can be against us? Proverbs puts it so well. It says, above all else, guard your hearts, for it's the wellspring of life. And we want to teach that to our children. But it needs to begin with us, doesn't it? We need to guard our hearts against all these temptations and go easy on our kids. Above all else, guard your hearts, for it's the wellspring of life. It's the source from which life comes. And then, fathers, if you want to train your children right, you need to train your children in the knowledge of the Bible. We need to train our children in the knowledge of the Bible. Now, I know that we can't make our children love the Bible. Again, only the Holy Spirit can do this. But we can teach our children the Bible. We can teach them principles even before they can read. Who made you? What child is it? Can't say God. God did it. We can begin to teach the Bible even before they can read. So we can never begin too young to teach our children the Bible. Now, when the Bible is the starting point, it becomes then the foundation. It becomes what they build upon, the block of knowledge they build upon. Now, the New Testament describes the apostles' teaching as the foundation upon which the church is built. It's the foundation upon which their thinking will be built. The psalmist says this, you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Above everything is God's word. There's a lot of attractive stuff out there, a lot of good books out there, but above everything is God's Word. We look at everything in the light of God's Word. So that's what we want to begin with our children. And there's no part of God's Word that we want to neglect. Catechisms are fine. Confessions of faith are fine. They're summaries. They're helpful to them. But we want to focus on the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, what does it tell us? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what's it good for? It's good for all the things that our children need. For teaching, for rebuke, for correction, telling them what to do after they've done what's wrong, and for training in righteousness, going over and over and over and over things so they finally get it. Now, when my kids went to, time came for them to go to senior high school, we were given the option of writing in and saying we didn't want them to do this. And so we did. And, you know, there's a story about what the school wants to do, is what the school winds up doing, actually. It's just letting the kids know what parts of their body will give them certain responses and what will happen. Now, frankly, I think that's the last thing kids need to know at that point. That's something that's for marriage. And that's something for you and your wife to discover together. What I found was that there was no need for my children to go through those courses. I didn't need to feel bad about it because at family worship, we read the Bible. And we covered all that stuff. The Bible protected them from all sorts of wrong things about that. They gave them the right attitude towards it. All they needed to know was found in God's Word. And if you wind up doing kind of devotions with your kids regularly and read all of God's Bible, make sure you get all of them, your kids will be ready. They will stand on their own. They'll be standing on God's Word and standing tall before the world. So see that your children, and I'm going to give you five things, and some of you heard this before, but it's so important when you speak about being founded on God's Word. You understand it's a lot of work. You know, when you see a building go up, it takes an awful long time for these big buildings to finally get the foundation done. It seems to me it takes longer sometimes to lay those foundations than to build what's above ground. It's a lot of work. And I know of a very wealthy man who went bankrupt because after he did the foundations of the Sears building in Chicago years ago, there were cracks discovered and they had to dig. After the foundation was done, they had to redo it. And it's a terrible thing then, isn't it, to build the wrong kind of foundation. So we want to make sure that our children have a good foundation, not just theoretically. But how you work at getting a good foundation, your children are really founded in God's Word and grounded in you. And then it's this wonderful building that will rise to God's glory. There's four or five things I want to give to you. I want you to think of it in terms of a hand. I want to think of it in terms of holding on and holding out God's Word. Now, if all you do is come to church on Sunday and listen to it, they can pull that Word out right out of their lives. It's not there. It's just one little thing. You just can't hold it. But now, in addition to hearing God's Word, they read God's Word, you've got a better grip, right? Then if on top of that, you study God's Word together, and you teach them to study and read it, well, you've got even a better grip. And then when they memorize it, then they got something on their mind when the trouble comes, when they need to answer somebody. And then when they're thinking about it, now it does no good if you do all that, you don't think about it at the time, when you're taught to meditate on God's Word, apply it to their lives, they can hold on to God's Word, can't they? And hold it out. And because God's Spirit is in them, and when God's Word is in them, God's Spirit is in them, they overcome the world. And you as a parent, you as a father, have taught them. You've trained them in the way that they should go. Train up a child in the way that he should go, not would go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That is God's promise. But it's work. This matter of training is work. And I think in our society, maybe the best example of the importance of training is in athletics. Those coaches go over and over and over things. It's all sorts of little things and little nuances. And these are just simple games. Putting a ball in the basket. Getting a ball over the line. getting a runner around base. Those are simple games. There's all sorts of men making all sorts of money as coaches. Now, what God has given you to do is much more important than that. And they're spending all this time just to win. And you can't remember from one year to the next what's going to happen. See, it doesn't really matter what they're doing. But the responsibility of fathers is to give. There's one that has eternal consequences, doesn't it? And we want to take this seriously, this duty that God has laid on us. And I want to say this too. You should feel honored. But the responsibility of God is given to his fathers. And when I speak again now, I'm just talking about this responsibility that Christians have for each other. It's an honor to have this responsibility of raising children as a community. And then, finally here, fathers, if you want to train your children right, train them to have good habits. And I'm just going to mention one, the first one. It's a long list of other things that are going on. We're going to stop here today. And the good habits, of having, you want to train them to have good habits, but the habit of prayer is most important. Prayer is the mightiest weapon that God has placed in our hands. It's the surest cure for trouble. It's the best weapon in any situation. If we pray, God gives His grace to help us in our time of need. What does He tell us? Ask and it will be given you, right? Seek and you will find God and the door will be open to you. If you stumble, it's because you haven't asked, it's because you haven't sought Him in prayer. And something else about prayer, as long as you can breathe, you can pray. If you became a Christian yesterday, you can pray. If you became a Christian 50 years ago, you can pray. If you're sick, you can pray. If you're having a good time, you can pray. And the Bible tells us in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. You feel you don't have? Have you asked? So you want to teach your children, and you notice the word habit of prayer. A habit of prayer. It's something that anybody can do. And you can teach them to pray long before you teach them to read. They can have a habit of prayer before they're able, before they're in kindergarten. He's taught the rudiments of reading. And again, I want to be specific about how we should teach them to pray. There's this acronym, ACTS. You want to teach them to adore God. Teach them because He's our Father in heaven. He's somebody to be loved and respected and honored. Our Father in heaven, adore Him. See, confess their sins. They are sinners. And they need to ask the Lord forgiveness and of specific sins. See, give thanks to God. He has been good to you. We grow up with faith discouragement to need to be taught to thank God and adore Him and confess our sins. And then S, supplication, ask Him for your needs. His pockets are deep. There's no limit to what He can do. You ask your parents, they can't do it for you. Ask God. Tell them to look to God at all times and ask them for their needs. Now, Father, it's very important that we don't give this responsibility over to somebody else. We don't depend on the church to teach them. We don't depend on the Christian school to teach them. We don't depend on the next door neighbor to teach them. It might be a godly person. We don't depend on the kids to teach them. But it's important that we teach them. If we don't, we're like the ostrich that Job speaks of. Now, Job speaks of the ostrich as being a wonderful animal. It can outrun a horse. Yet it speaks of the ostrich as being of having this problem. She lays her eggs on the ground and lets them warm the sand, unmindful that a foot may crush them, some wild animal may trample them. She treats her young harshly as if they were not hers. You don't treat your children to prey. You're treating them harshly as if they're not yours. Parents, if you love your children, do everything in your power to train them in the habit of prayer. You want to train your children right, train them in the habit of prayer. Now, there's other habits they need very much. But I want to close by leaving you with this thought. And if you remember one thing, this is what I'd like you to remember, to go home and remember. Father, your duty is to shepherd your children's hearts. Your duty is to shepherd your children's hearts.
Amen.
Now we know Psalm 23, don't we? We know God is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I won't want for anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint me with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's God is my shepherd. That's what he does. And that's what he's doing for you. Now, the Bible speaks of him as being the chief shepherd. And we are under shepherds. We are under him. And this is what we are to be as fathers. We're to be shepherds of our children's hearts. Not shepherds of their education so that they can get to college or they can get a good job, but shepherds of their hearts. It's a grievous thing when I sometimes, there's Christian parents. They're talking about their own children. They avoid every talking about them spiritually. Because their children aren't doing well spiritually. They'll talk about what they're doing in life. How my son's an engineer, my daughter's this, and this, that, and the other thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say, by God's grace, my children are all walking Christ. That's to be our goal as fathers. And oh, we're so funny. We're so weak. And we need the Lord's help. And we need to have our eyes fixed on our great shepherd, who is Jesus, isn't
it? Amen.
Who died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. Now he hears our prayers. And he answers us in our time of need. He protects us. And when we fall, he does it. He's there for us. He is our shepherd looking after us. So let us be faithful and listen to what he tells us to do, which is what? What's our text today? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's God's promise. Isn't it wonderful, God's promises? Not his commands good. We know what to focus on. Like so many parents without enough questions, what do you focus on? We're just lost. That God is good and he is good to us. And we're in trouble as a nation because of our fathers. It's not good what's going on. But our Lord tells us that we are the light of the world. And we listen. And we obey. We dispel the darkness. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will be with us as fathers. Help us, O Lord, to encourage our fathers. And help us, O Lord, to remember when there is no father, that you have promised to be our father. When the mother and father forsakes even the Lord will take thee up. So help us, O Lord, to see always that there is a heavenly Father. And he is looking out for us. He's looking out for us as fathers. He's looking out as a great father over all of us. We thank you that we are members of the family. family, we are members of the family of God, and pray, Lord, that if today we aren't members of the family of God, we will come to believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen. As we respond to the word and song, let's turn in our hymnals to our regiment, number 700.